Christ has risen from the dead. But so what? What does that have to do with our lives right now? Stay tuned. Renewing Your Mind, Weekend Edition with Dr. R.C. Sproul is next. Welcome to this weekend edition of Renewing Your Mind with author and teacher Dr. R.C. Sproul. Dr. Sproul is also the senior minister of preaching and teaching at St. Andrew's, a Reformed congregation in Sanford, Florida. He has risen, and he has risen indeed. Easter is here. Around the world, Christians are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the marketplace, florists are busy fulfilling orders. Special dinners are being prepared as families gather wearing their Sunday best. Nearly every sermon that will be preached will be focusing on the fact that Jesus came back from the dead. But what does that all mean to us? What's the significance of that event? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ have to do with you? Today, Dr. Sproul will remind us of the eternal significance of the resurrection and how that provides hope for us right now. Here's Dr. Sproul with today's message. So what?
Let's look at the text this morning that we find in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, and I will be reading from verse 1 through verse 8. And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Every Easter, every year, we focus our attention on the resurrection of Christ. We do this not merely as an ecclesiastical celebration, but as the central point of our faith and of our hope. We hear the announcement every year, and we say, He is risen, and the response is, He is risen indeed. Not, He is risen perhaps, or He is risen, I hope. but rather he is risen indeed. And so the question I want to explore with you this morning is this one. So what? What difference does it make that Christ has been raised from the dead? On other occasions, from a different perspective, I've looked with you at Paul's letter to the Corinthians, to the 15th chapter, where the Apostle Paul addresses the skeptics that had invaded the church at Corinth. People who were denying the reality of the resurrection of Jesus, but wanted to reconstruct the church to make it more politically correct, more relevant to the needs of the people of that day. And so they wanted a Christianity without resurrection, without the supernatural. They wanted a Christianity based solely upon their appreciation and admiration for the profundity of the ethical teachings of Rabbi Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said to them, "Have you really considered the implications of your thinking?" And in his discussion by way of this letter, he employed a technique that had been made famous by philosophers before Socrates, which was the technique of arguing in an ad hominem fashion, not the ad hominem abusive, fallacious manner of arguing where you try to refute your opponent by insulting his character. That's the fallacious kind, but the simple ad hominem argument was to argue to the person. That is, you listen to the statements and the premises that your opponent is making. You repeat them. Then you step into the shoes of your opponent and say, okay, if your premise is correct, what are the logical implications of it? Let's track them and see where it takes us. And so they would use that technique called reductio ad absurdum, where they would reason from their opponent's premise and show that if you are consistent with your premise, it will lead you ultimately to absurdity. Paul was a master of that. And so when he writes to the Corinthians, he says this, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how is it that some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead?" Well, if there's no resurrection of the dead, what Paul is saying here is, so what? What are the implications of that? Well, if there's no resurrection at all of any kind, of anyone, then clearly that would exclude any hope of the resurrection of a single person like Jesus. If there's no, absolutely no life after death, if no one ever comes out of the tomb, then manifestly that would mean that Jesus is still dead and that he has not been resurrected. Well, then what? Well, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. It's futile. It has no meaningful content. It is meaningless. And if our preaching is empty, if our preaching is a vacuum, if our preaching is nothing but a void, then your faith is empty. Your faith is meaningless. Your faith is an exercise in delusion. Not only that, but we would be found to be false witnesses of God because we've testified that it was God who raised up Christ. And if Christ is not raised, then obviously God did not raise him. And if God did not raise him, we have been liars by telling the world that indeed God did raise him from the dead. And again, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. you're still in your sins. You still carry the weight of guilt around your neck. Beloved, in the Bible, when it speaks of people dying, it describes only two ways in which people ever die. People either die in faith, or they die in their sins. There are people here today who, as a matter of custom or family pressure, have no faith. You're still in your sin. And if you would die today, you would die in your sin. And you would perish without hope. Well, what would be true for the unbeliever would be true as well for the believer if Christ is not raised. We would be unjustified, but the Bible says that he was raised for our justification. He was raised because the Father said yes to the atonement, because he said yes to his work of reconciliation. But if the Father had rejected the sacrificial offering of Christ on the cross, we would have no Savior. We would have no relief, no forgiveness of our sins. We live in a world of not just foolishness, but of theological dementia. People actually out there believe that their sins will be covered by this vague, amorphous love of God who forgives everybody. If you don't repent, I don't care how loving God is, he will not forgive you. Not now, not ever. Sin is so much more of an offense against a holy God than any of us ever imagine. If Christ is not raised, you're still there in your sin. If Christ is not risen, then those who have fallen asleep in him have perished. One day somebody asked me, "Will you die and go to heaven? Write down on a piece of paper the 10 people that you most want to see there." And of course, the first was Jesus, naturally. And oh, yes, I want to see Paul. Yes, I want to see David. And yes, I want to see the rest of the apostles. But after Jesus, the next name on my list was my father. I want to see him again. I want to see my mother again. And there are those in this congregation who yearn to see their husbands again, or their wives again, or their children again. But Paul says, let's face it, let's be realistic. If Christ is not raised, why do you amuse yourself with thoughts that you're ever going to see your loved ones again? Because you won't. They're gone. When you're dead, you're dead. And if you die with the most toys, you win. What nonsense. Is there anything more precious to you than life? Is there anything more significant to you than eternal life? Than resurrection from the dead? And Paul says, but if he's not risen, they're all gone. They're all dead. Forget it. And we are of all people the most to be pitied. But then Paul goes on to say, I don't want you to believe in the resurrection because the options to it are too grim to imagine. I'm just showing you where we go if we deny the resurrection. But now is Christ raised from the dead. And he was seen by the apostles, by Peter and John, and by 500 people at one time, and as if one born out of due time, he appeared unto me. I'm not writing to you myths and fables. Why do you think my life is on the line every day? Why do you think I fought with the wild beasts at Ephesus? Why do you think I spent so much time in jail? Why do you think I spent so much time in shipwreck and in beatings? It's because I saw him. And I know that he is alive. I know that my Redeemer lives. Fast forward beyond the writings of Paul to the text we read this morning from the Apostle John. Jesus is raised from the dead. So what? Here's what. We will have a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And that new Jerusalem is going to come down from the heavens, and when we look at it, it will look like a fantastically adorned bride on her wedding day. More beautiful than a princess, more beautiful than a queen. And John said, I heard a voice. And it said, behold, the tabernacle of God, the tent of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Emmanuel. Jesus will be in our midst again. And God will wipe away every tear. Be no use for tears. Because, John says, there won't be anything more to cry about. There'll be no more death. There aren't any funeral services in the New Jerusalem. There aren't any cemeteries in the Holy City. There'll be no more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. Those belong to the old order, which are passing away. And behold, God said, I will make all things new. And he said to me, the same words he uttered from the cross, it's finished. It's done. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Incredibly good, nay, great news. Sadly, however, even here, in the announcement of the ending of death and pain and sorrow and tears, for those who belong to Christ, the announcement doesn't end there. There is a however. As John, quoting Jesus, says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and liars. Do you see this list? Did you hear that list? The things that are contained in there? Murderers? Next to the unbelievers? Here's what Jesus says. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, the sexually immoral, the sorcerer, the idolater, and the liar will go into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Are you sexually immoral? You're addicted to pornography? If you don't flee from it, you'll take it with you to the lake of fire. Are you living with a woman or a man who is not your wife outside of the bonds of marriage? You can celebrate that relationship in hell. Because the culture applauds it. But the Lord God Almighty can't stomach it. And in every church in America, there are those who have eschewed marriage to live together without any word of discipline from the church. I say to you this day, if you're in such a relationship, get out of it before the sun sets today. You're defying the holiness of God, and He will not tolerate it for the long time. Are you a liar? Can people trust your word? Does your yea mean yea and your nay mean nay? Or is deceit and dissembling part of your conduct? But this is why some people hope that their resurrection didn't happen. Because if Christ is not raised, I don't have to worry about a lake of fire. When I'm dead, I'll be dead. There'll be no judgment. I will have gotten away with it all. But I don't want to end the sermon on Easter in the lake of fire. That's no place to swim on this day. I want to look to the New Jerusalem, where our Lord Jesus has gone to His Father's house, in which He tells us are many mansions. And He has gone to prepare a place for me and for you and all who put their trust in Him. So what? So what? So everything. You know why? You know what I'm going to say? He is risen.
You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, Weekend Edition, with Dr. R.C. Sproul. Before we close today, let us hear a word from Dr. Sproul about today's special offer.
Hi, this is R.C., and I wanted to tell you today about a new product, a new endeavor that I've been involved in. I love to write children's stories. I think you know that. And my latest children's story is called The Donkey Who Carried a King. And in this story, I wanted to talk about our Lord's final days and the moments before He gave His atoning death for our sins. And my hope is that both young children and their parents and their grandparents will come to a deeper understanding of the necessity of Christ's work on the cross. Today we're offering this beautifully illustrated book, The Donkey Who Carried a King, for our program of a donation of any amount to the ministry. Included with that, we will also send you a copy of the audiobook on CD, which you heard just in our broadcast today. Now, this offer is only for today, but I hope that you'll call and get your copy and use this book, The Donkey Who Carried a King, for your children's edification and for your own. And the number is 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 800-435-4343. Or you can go online to rymoffer.com. That's RYM, as in renewing your mind, and the word offer.com. Now, that web address is for today's special offer only.
The Donkey Who Carried a King offers a unique perspective on the events of Jesus' Passion Week and calls believers young and old to follow in the footsteps of the suffering servant for the glory of God. As mentioned, you can receive a copy of The Donkey Who Carried a King, along with a copy of the audiobook on CD, for your donation of any amount today. This makes a perfect gift for any child you may know, believer and unbeliever alike. To get your copy, give us a call at 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 800-435-4343. Or visit rymoffer.com. That's RYM as in renewing your mind, and the word offer.com. That web address is for this week's special offer only. That's all the time for this weekend edition of Renewing Your Mind. Thank you for listening. Join us again next weekend as we resume our journey through Scripture as we continue our Dust to Glory series. Until then, join us on Facebook.com/Ligonier. Have a great weekend and Lord's Day. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, Weekend Edition, the listener-supported radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries in Orlando, Florida.